Well, we are into episode 17 of Trail Talk SA. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Brad Brown, your host once again this week on this trail running podcast aimed specifically at the South African trail running market. Thank you so much for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast. I really, really do appreciate it. And also following the last episode where we were chatting exclusively about the Salomon Sky Run that took place in Lesotho just a few weeks ago with some hectic storms. Some great response from that podcast as well. So if you did pop us a tweet or a Facebook message or an email, thank you so much. I really do appreciate your kind words. This week on the show, only one guest for you, but a pretty cool guest at that. And we chatted a little bit about that Sky Run as well, his experience of what happened on the mountain. I'm talking about the founder of a magazine called Go Multi and Trail Mag. Dion Braun is on this week's show. And we chat a little bit about the magazines, a little bit about the trail running fraternity here in South Africa, some of his favorite races, as well as, like I said, his experience at the recent Sky Run in Lesotho. So without further ado, let's get straight into this week's show. Well, this week on Trail Talk SA, really cool to have the founder of the Go Multi magazine and the Trail magazine as well, Dion Braun, on the show, who's a bit of an all-rounder, does a bit of everything, although focusing a lot on trail running right now. Dion, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for chatting.
Brad, a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Dion, I wanted to touch base with you. There's been a bit of news on your front this week that I wanted to sort of touch on. You also ran the infamous, what is now the infamous Sky Run a week and a bit ago, and I wanted to chat to you a little bit about that as well. Before we get into that trail running side of things, let's talk a little bit about Go Multi. Big announcement you guys made this week that you, after a long time, you're stopping the print run, but you're still going to be involved on the online side of things from Go Multi. Tell us a little bit about the decision that brought that on.
That's right, Brad. 10 years in, we saw, and even in our own lives, how we're getting more and more information from the online side of things. And I think that Go Multi was just in that realm where pretty much, you know, people were looking for information, that kind of information, online to a large degree. Not to say that long form journalism isn't alive and very, very well, as we see with trail, but there were, because we had different sports, we just found that support from some of the industries wasn't quite there. So we had really great support from the running industry, trail running. Even though Trail magazine cannibalized it to a degree, there was a lot of crossover. And in fact, a lot of people did subscribe to both magazines, and we're eternally grateful to them for that. But just because we didn't really have that big segment of advertising from one of the industries, and it was just slowly sliding away because they were, I think they're feeling the pinch of the recession. It just really, from a financial point of view, the passion is still there, but it just wasn't really worth our while, you know, paying people salaries, getting the magazine out. It's an expensive thing to print because, you know, print has got some incredible benefits, and the attributes are great. You know, digital is kind of just passes by so quickly, but print definitely has that longevity, which people do love, and some brands want that. But long story short, we thought, hey, maybe time for a change. The industry is at a very interesting junction, and more and more people are getting information from the web. We, you know, absolutely are passionate about cross training, being fit across several disciplines, and still big believers in it. But you know, we just looked at the reality that some of the industries are going through a tight spot. They're cutting their spend, and so you know they were just saying, you know, we'd really like to help you. But we're going to focus on the niche magazines. And that's pretty much why Go Multi is going to continue as a strong, strong website. And, you know, you're going to see in the next few months, we're going to really overhaul it and just bring in a lot of functionality. Whereas on the trail side, we're going to do the same. We're going to launch trailmag.co.za as it's on its own site. and really strengthen the print side of that.
Deanna, I find it interesting. You mentioned the sort of that it's gone more niche. And that's, I think that's, I mean, if you look at just the history of print mags over the last couple of years, I mean, and I'm going to use the example of a Sports Illustrated shutting up shop. I think that's probably a prime example of that where they were trying to sort of cover all bases, but people who might have been interested in rugby were buying a rugby magazine, and people who were interested in cricket were buying a cricket magazine. Whereas the online side of things, the barriers to entry you still need the resources for finding the information and that sort of thing, but you're not printing a physical magazine, so the costs of actually getting that information out there are a lot lower. So it allows you to sort of also get the information out quicker, and it allows it's in more real time. I don't know if that's probably a good way to sum it up.
Definitely, it's in real time, and you could have 100 contributors writing on their niche topic, and they could be really, really good, and you can get that out within a day. So people are looking for that kind of immediacy. They're looking for fresh updates, and the last thing people want to do nowadays is read about some race that happened 6 months ago, unless, as in the case of Trail, you look at it, you write it from a really, really interesting perspective, and you almost make it a novel. You almost make it a short novel, just like the journalists in the 1950s in the States with their gonzo journalism. They brought in this whole blend between a novel and nonfiction. And, you know, it was a new genre, and that's what people are looking for. They're looking for something they can read, and it's got emotion, and it's got the people angle more than anything else. They want to really feel that passion, and trail runners are looking for that. There's absolutely no doubt. They love, we're a tribe of people who love regaling stories. You know, hey, this happened, and that's definitely going to happen with this year's Skyrun. Yeah. That's just one example.
And I'm sure those stories are going to get bigger and more intense as the time goes on as well. But we'll touch on your experience of that Skyrun in a moment. But it's interesting you talk about the trail and that community, and you said that the trail mags almost cannibalized the Go Multi. But you're seeing tremendous growth on the trail mag side of things, and it's a really nice niche, and the sport's really growing. I mean, when I touched base with you early in the week, you said something very interesting to me, and it sort of struck home that, and I think your exact words were, is trail running is where mountain biking was maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, Brad, I would say it's maybe where it was maybe 10 or 12 years ago, where it was really just starting to turn over a big gear. And I think we're exactly at that spot right now. So I think in another 5 to 10 years, it's going to be at its pinnacle. And they're very exciting times. And I think that we've got so many city slickers. People are so urbanized now that people increasingly want to get away out of the city on the weekends. And if you look at the global population, 80% of the world's population actually lives at the coast. So that means only 20% of the people are in the mountains. So it's just like the Industrial Revolution. Everyone was forced out of their homes to go and work in these horrible factories. And now everyone's heading back to home so they can work just like you do occasionally. They can work on a laptop. They can work anywhere in the world. And I think the same is happening. We've all been sent down to the coast like river water, and now we're saying, hey, wait, but there's something in my soul that makes me want to go and run in the mountains again. And I think that's a very exciting time in the history of the human race, and yeah, we're part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, on the trail front, I'm seeing it. I mean, I work from home, but I still am a city slicker. I'm based up in Joburg, but I'm seeing more and more people, and not just heading out on weekends, but there's some pretty cool, and you just need to look, but there's some pretty cool trails in and around Joburg. I mean, that Braamfontein Spruit's fantastic, and more people are running that. So, I mean, the sport is definitely on the up.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. And I think even when I'm running, I live in Durban, when I run through the suburbs, I'm off-road almost all the time because I find areas that I can run on grassy curbs. I try and stay off the tar only when I'm crossing roads. So you can be a trail runner even in the city. And they're incredible places. Like you say, Braamfontein Spruit in Johannesburg. There's Demos here in Durban. If you look, there are trails everywhere. They really are everywhere. They're between houses. In Cape Town, they're along the Flays. So you get some incredible running. You just need to look out for it. It's there.
Yeah, we're not going to mention Cape Town because that's just one big trail. I tell you, they are so blessed down in the Western Cape.
Yeah, no, we feel really sorry for those guys.
that's why the weather's terrible half the time.
That's it. Yeah, we had to even it out.
It's payback for the cool trails.
Beautiful.
And then Dion, talking about horrible weather, let's touch on that Skyrun experience of yours. It was manic. I mean, we chatted to a couple of the guys last week here on Trail Talk SA and touched on it and really, really like sort of found out what it was like. In your experience, tell me what it was like for you.
Well, it started off fairly sedate. You know, you're on this, if you've ever been to Skyrun, it starts in one of the main roads. You know, it's Lady Grey, so there are not many people in the entire village. But, you know, you start at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're on Tar Road. The mountains are above you. You can't see them. It's dark. You know, it was drizzling maybe. So, you know, you think, well, it's going to be fine. And so some people are in shorts and they didn't have all their kit on. But then as you get up into the mountain, it started getting windier, you know. And I remember that from last year as well. I remember being on one of the saddles last year and the wind was just howling through. It was almost impossible to put on a rain jacket or a windbreak because if you held out your rain jacket, it was horizontal. There was no way. It was almost impossible to get your hand through it. But luckily this year the wind was strong, but it didn't start off too strong. And it only started probably maybe four or five hours into the run. And some people did get caught, unfortunately. They got soaked. And you know, when you're soaked and you're cold and there's sleet, it's very difficult to get warm again. So people were getting into hypothermic situations, which was bad.
Yeah, it's by all accounts it was quite hectic up there on the mountain. And we chatted briefly on my radio show on the weekend as well, and I wanted to get into it, but obviously time wise didn't really allow us to. But you've written a really cool article on the Go Multi website at the moment, and I'll link to it too in the show notes to this episode, just where you sort of get really, I don't want to say philosophical about it, but you took some big lessons out of that run.
Definitely. You know, you never actually stop learning. Even Ian Don Washup, who is a really, really good runner, everyone respects him. He's got incredible experience. He lives in the Drakensberg. He got caught out as well. So, you know, sometimes the lesson for me is that sometimes we look up at the mountains and we say, you know what, it's going to be like this or it's going to be like that. But it changes up there so fast that you really need to be prepared for the very worst. So I would say if it was a metaphor for life, it's when you're on your journey, have everything you need. Be prepared for the unexpected because it's going to come and visit you. So that definitely was the big lesson. You know, it really caught a lot of people off guard. You're running along those ridges. So the wind is coming from the Lesotho side and it's just pumping through at about 80 k's an hour. If you stop to eat, you start getting cold. If you stand in the wind, you get cold. If you go on the lee side of the wind, then it's absolutely still and you think, wow, the wind has died down. But the fact is it's still pumping. It's just the mountain that's actually protecting you. So a big lesson for everyone. And I think the organizers also learned a serious lesson from the mountains. So for next year, things have to change. The safety, et cetera, can't be exactly like it was. But I can't blame them because, you know, they did like we did. They based their assumption on, well, what is it like at the moment? But in 4 or 5 hours, things can change very quickly.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And it's quite interesting. I mean, you've done a few of these things now, and you get to run a lot of really cool trail runs and races here in South Africa. I think South Africans in general sort of, and it's not just around the Skyrun, we take a lot of things weather-wise for granted because we live in an amazing country where we don't have the massive extremes like you do possibly in Europe where summers are wonderful but the winters are really brutal. Yes, things can change here, but when they change, they don't really change that dramatically. But the Skyrun went and showed us that things can get really hectic really quickly.
Incredibly quickly, and you're right. You know, they have fatalities in races overseas. I remember, I think about a year ago in one of the races, I think a Spanish girl died. She was a top trail runner. So, and so it shows that people do get caught out there as well. But I mean, those were really, really extreme, well below zero temperatures. Now the temperatures we were in were touching below zero as well, you know, with the wind chill factor. But luckily we weren't going to be stuck in really, really high mountains all night. But you're humbled, eh? When you're up there and you realize, wow, you know, we're only at, what, 2,600 or 2,700 meters, but to get down is going to take 4 or 5 hours. You don't always have that time. And if you become hypothermic and if you're on your own, then you toast. But one of the girls was actually carried down in a sleeping bag because she just couldn't move her legs. So it does humble you and it makes you realize, wow, next time I need to be super, super cautious. And I actually had another experience with some baboons that attacked a mate and myself. We were in the Umtambuma Nature Reserve in southern KZN, and same story. You know, you sometimes go on a run and you don't, I mean, this, when I say a mate, I'd met this guy the day before and he said, well, let's go for a run. So I thought it was going to be about a 10K run, but it ended up into a 5.5, nearly 6 hour run. We were down in the valley. We couldn't get up because there were cliffs. So if you're new to trail running, the trick always is be prepared for the worst. And if you're running with somebody, make sure that you have consensus on what the run is going to entail, because it's easy to get down to a river and then say, why don't we just run along the river and we'll just go up the cliffs here. And then you get there and then you can't get up the cliffs. So quite a lesson.
Yeah, it's quite, it is quite difficult to sort of get that sort of thing right. And then, Dion, just to wrap things up, I mean, I mentioned that you get to run some really cool trail runs with what you do for a living. Well, what are some, I mean, I always ask, like, every time I chat to like, a Ryan Sands or an AJ Collins, just to sort of get their take on what the must-run races and runs are in South Africa, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Well, you know what? To be honest, I haven't run as many as I should. So I know that Three Peaks, for example, in Cape Town is meant to be, wow, a classic. But there are so many in Cape Town, KZN, there's Mweni. You know, it would be wrong to mention ones and say, well, these are the ones you should do. But the ones that I've done that I really enjoy, definitely Skyrun, definitely the Otter. And yeah, then I've run some overseas as well. I've done the Dodo Trail and the Royal Raid, both of them in Mauritius. And then I've run in the Himalayas as well. So it's nice to have that variety and just, you know, just kind of experience the, you know, the different personalities of the mountains around the world. Mm. But yeah, there are a lot more runs that need to be done. So I would say speak to other runners and hear what they recommend. And there have been some classic runs in the last 2 years or so. I mean, bad weather. And Mweni had hectic snowfall and it was also freezing. People also nearly got lost. And those are classic adventures, you know. So the thing is just to be prepared and then you can have fun and at least you can look back and have a good laugh one day.
Yeah. Classic adventures and very cool stories come out of them too.
They do. Absolutely. You look back and you go, wow, those were the days. And actually, you know, life is so short that you need to have those adventures. And I think trail running is just one of the best. Yeah. It really is. It's probably the best way to experience our planet. It's such a beautiful planet. And, you know, you're on your own feet using your wits to stay alive. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Dion, if people want to find where you guys are online, what's the web address and you guys on Twitter and Facebook and that as well, where can they find you?
Okay, absolutely. Trailmag.co.za. That will take you to the page hosted on gomulti.co.za. So that's just G-O-M-U-L-T-I. And then our Twitter and Facebook handles are GoMulti and TrailZA, as in South Africa. So TrailZA.
Cool. Dion, what I'll do is I'll link to all of those links from the show notes for this episode of Trail Talk SA as well. So if people want to link through, they can go straight from this page on our website and they can find you there as well. Thanks for the chat. It's always awesome. Great to catch up. And yeah, I look forward to chatting again soon.
Awesome, Brad. Such a privilege. Thank you very, very much. And all the very best for your podcast. What a great show.
And that's a wrap for this week's show. Slightly shorter than normal, but I hope you enjoyed it. Nonetheless, I love chatting to Dion. What an amazing guy. And I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more of him here on Trail Talk SA. As always, if you want to be in touch, you can tweet us at Trail Talk SA. You can also pop us an email, podcast@trailtalksa.co.za. Or if you'd like, you can head on to Facebook and leave us a message there as well. Just search for us on Facebook. It's pretty easy to find us. We are Trail Talk SA. So until next week, have yourself a superb one. Looking forward to spending some more time with you then as we head into the holiday season and another episode of Trail Talk SA coming your way in a week from now. From myself, Brad Brown, have a good one and we'll chat soon. Cheers.